been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome here to the Best Stocks Now show. I'm your host, Barry Kite, here with Bill Gunderson. We'll get him on the line here in just a moment. But we're getting started here on this Thursday, July 6th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. Again, I'm Barry Kite, planner analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management. And we'll have should have Bill here on the line in just a moment. In terms of the markets, it's been a certainly bit of a down day initially. We've got the Dow down 1.2%, S&P 500's down 1.25%, and the Nasdaq down 1.5% here today. A lot of this, I think, is and we'll get Bill's perspective here in a moment, but I think a lot of this is really kind of based around the Fed minutes yesterday. We're very hawkish, I guess, if you will. There were some certainly some members who were on board with a 25 basis point hike at the last meeting in June. So from that perspective, that's really kind of, if you look at the market yesterday, it's really kind of where 10-year treasury, almost touched, was up 10 basis points yesterday and actually touched 4% for the first time. Bill, we got you there?
Yes, I am here.
All right. Well, we were just kind of running through the indices and looking at all the, discussing all the red here on the screens. And, of course, it looks like a lot of that's kind of from, really from interest rates rising based on some of the Fed minutes yesterday.
Well, I think it's pretty myopic for the market to sell off because of a possible 25 basis point
right.
hike at the next Fed meeting. I mean, does that really make sense, right? Okay, so the Dow's down 418 points right now, which works out to 1.22%. The NASDAQ is down 203, which it's vulnerable to a correction and sell-off after the sizzling first half that it had. It's down 1.5%. The S&P is down 1.3%. It's down 56 points. Crude oil is down 26 cents. And I think the real elephant in the room is the bond market right now. The 10-year is up another 9 basis points. It was up 10 yesterday. That's 19 basis points in 2 days. So basically the market has priced in a 25-point basis hike at the next meeting. The 10-year is now at 4.04. It hasn't been above 4%. But once again, I would ask the question, does it make sense to panic in the market? The problem with the market is the economy is too strong, right? I mean, that came that came about with this jobs number this morning, the private payrolls. And I would just say that the market at times is very, very myopic. It's focused on what's happening today or yesterday or tomorrow or what might happen at the next Fed meeting. You've got a lot of hot money in the market that comes and goes, and then you also have a lot of stable money in the market that remains put when the market becomes myopic, which, in my opinion, is where we're at right now. So anyways, let's just begin with the Fed minutes yesterday. That's kind of what started. I wouldn't call it a sell-off. I would call it a correction. I would call it a round of profit-taking. I would call it a round of nervous money, which likes to come and go as it pleases. Yesterday it was reported, and there was nothing new in the Fed minutes other than a few of the Fed governors favored a 25 basis point hike. Does that surprise you, Barry?
Well, I mean, it's essentially an investment committee, right? And you're going to have differing points of view. So no, it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, if you've got a vote, right? And then of course, you've got a mixed bag. Well, at least it means that. Sounds like no one was for a 50 basis point hike, which that's what we were getting at the end of last year, early this year. So a discussion between a 25 basis point or a pause, right? Is in my book is a means they're getting somewhere, right?
Yeah, and we knew it wasn't a unanimous decision to not hike rates at the last meeting. And we also knew that they were leaving open a potential rate hike next time. Okay, so let's say there is a 25 basis point rate hike at the next meeting. You'll have to look it up when the next meeting is. I don't know if they take August off or not.
I want to say it's July 23rd.
Really? So they have another meeting before they go on vacation, it sounds like. Okay.
Right. And they're basically doing them once every month and a half. And so they'll get, we'll get another CPI number. We're going to get, get a lot of data in between then. And I think that's where, some of the data you mentioned on job side of things. And, when you're a data dependent Fed, then you create more volatility around some of these data releases, right?
Yeah. So the headline number today, which is pretty much behind today's profit-taking round. The ADP, which is not the official jobs report, that will come in tomorrow, they said that 497,000 jobs were added in June, much more than expected. And I think it's the magnitude by what that number came in at, the number that it beat. The expectation was 267,000 new jobs to be added. Instead, it came in at 409, almost double what was expected.
Right.
And, we've been saying all along, it doesn't matter who I talk to almost or what industry they're in. They're all hiring, okay? They're all looking for help, some industries more than others. So we know that this continued shortage of workers continues. Now, on the other side of the coin, the initial jobless claims did come in a little bit better or a little bit worse, I guess, than expected, depending on which way you look at it. It came in at 248,000. So there were some layoffs more than expected this past week. And then there was one other number. I think this one came out, it's today. 7:30 a.m. The jobs cuts, the Challenger jobs cuts, that dropped, okay, to just 40,000. It was 80,000 last month, so there weren't as many jobs cuts, but there were more people in the unemployment line. So,
and then we got that JOLTS report. We got the JOLTS report, another jobs piece, which showed less openings, job openings than expected.
Yeah.
So it's really, in reality, it's really been a mixed bag of economic news in terms of one piece could be deemed inflationary, the other piece could mean the opposite. And of course, you got a big move in the bond market, which is, for whatever reason, like you said, probably driven, primarily by the Fed minutes as of yesterday. I think that released at 2 o'clock yesterday. So
now there's one big other piece to this whole equation. In the newsletter last week, I pointed out that the forward PE of the S&P 500, which began the year at 16.9, hit 18.9 on Friday, okay? So now you've got that multiple part of the equation. The earnings picture has not changed at all. In fact, if anything, it's strengthened. But that multiplier is a massive factor in the market. It's a big mathematical factor. The five-year average for the forward PE of the S&P 500 is 18.5, okay? It got down to 16.9 to begin the year. Last year it got clear down into the 15s, and now we're back up to 18.9. So I pointed out in the newsletter, I said, something's going to probably give here for a little while. especially with a new earnings season on tap, we've become stretched a little bit in the multiple of the market. And so you're going to see some compression. You're going to see some consolidation. And anytime you get an excuse to do that, right, like today, where you get a too hot ADP report, you're going to see a little bit of compression. So I think that the market has to come back a little bit. Now, does that mean you're going to sell everything and wait for it to come back? Well, if you're part of that hot money, which comes and goes in and out of the market and is always trying to guess which way the market is going to go, on a macro basis, I mean, this is still a bull market from every valuation point of view, from every earnings point of view, from a technical point of view. But you're going to get sell-offs like this from time to time. When we come back, we'll expound more upon this. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's The Best Stocks Now show. Well, one way you can look at the interest rates are going up today, right? It's not because the Fed is hiking interest rates. It's because the market perceives that they're going to hike interest rates. So we were up 10 basis points yesterday. And at one time, we were up 10 basis points today. That's about where we're at right now. So you've gone up 20 basis points in the last 2 days. So what does that do to the multiple of the market? Well, just from my analysis,
makes it contract, right?
Yes, over time, you get around 4% where we're at right now, and that brings that multiple down to about 18.5. We were at 18.9 on Friday. Yeah, if we continue to go up, you know, if we go up to 4.25% on the 10-year, you probably see the multiple come into 17.5, somewhere in that area. On the other hand, if we go down back below 4, which is the most likely path, let's say we go back down to 3.75, then we're back to that 19 multiple. So that's what you're playing with right now. The earnings are not changing. The earnings expectations are not changing. We'll get a better read on that when we get the actual earnings, which begin in about a week or so. But you're seeing the multiple kind of like your waistline, you know, during the 4th of July or Thanksgiving, whatever. It expands and then it contracts when you go back on your diet. That's what's happening right now. It's in the middle. It's in the multiple side of things. So I just wouldn't lose too much sleep over this. And I think it's very myopic to sell everything because you've got all of a sudden a 20-point jump in interest rates in just 2 days. There is another concern out there, however, that could affect earnings. It has not yet affected earnings, but there's also worry about China, a slowdown in China. And, you know, we had some pretty weak numbers out of China yesterday. And you've got Janet Yellen over there trying to smooth things out. It seems like Anthony Blinken couldn't do it because right after he left, they declared war. They fired back on this whole semiconductor war, which is taking place. And you say to yourself, well, what kind of impact will this semiconductor war have on the NASDAQ and on the chip stocks? Taiwan Semiconductor came out today and said very little. We won't be impacted hardly at all by these two rare earth materials that China is not going to export to the U.S. And I saw the rare earth stocks yesterday here in the U.S. Bounce higher. The main one is MP. MP is Mountain Pass. They got a different name for it, but it's the one there on the way to Las Vegas from California on the I-15 where they found all these rare earth minerals. And they're digging for them there. Mountain Pass MP stock had a very good day yesterday. And you had Taiwan Semiconductor saying so far this had no effect on them whatsoever. You also had NVIDIA saying or others saying that watch NVIDIA that they've got a workaround to get chips to China that don't fall within the banned chip area that the U.S. has placed on China. So that's another factor right now. So I just think that, you know, this is overreact. Does the market ever overreact, Barry? You know, it's like we as human beings have a tendency to overreact. Okay. When something goes wrong, we always assume the worst. And I guess if you wanted to take a quarter point basis, a hike, what could go wrong? Well, does that increase the odds that we go into a recession because interest rates are still too high, or rates are too high to you know, for growth to happen, for lending to happen, and this kind of thing? It's not showing up in the housing market. You know, the housing market remains on fire. Building supply companies remain on fire. We're not seeing a massive impact from you know, the rate hike so far this year on the economy, which continues to be, if anything, too hot.
Right, so anyways, and those things are work. You know, will work against each other. I mean, you know, the fact that the economy cooling, right, will, you know, helps interest rates, you know, go down. In this instance, you've got some, you know, economy not cooling right as quickly as thought, and so. You've got rates going up, which is contracting multiples. But on the other end of it, if you've got, you know, better economics, well, then that's also normally going to translate into earnings, right? So you kind of got this push-pull against each other in terms of, you know, good news could be bad news for the market and vice versa, right? Bad news could be good news for the market. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Yes, it's also that time of year for some sector rotation to take place. You know, we had a very hot run in the market from the most highfalutin stocks, a handful of them. Then it started to spread out, and the NASDAQ had a massive outperformance in the first half. It was up 31% in the first half of this year. The NASDAQ is not going to be up 31% again in the second half of this year. I spent all my day Monday, or during the market hours on Monday, which were very short, and then yesterday when we came back, looking for activity, all right, in sectors outside of tech, because there's no question that it is spreading, and I think that there's going to be some hot money leaving the AI and the high tech and the chip and the software sector, although the software sector had a good day yesterday. But it's going to be searching out new sectors that got left behind. And I would just say I had a long day yesterday. I looked at about 1,200, 1,300 charts yesterday. I would just say it's too soon to say that there's new sectors that are starting to emerge. But I would say that the most promising two sectors that I saw yesterday during my trip through the market were the financial sector, not the banks in particular, but other financial service companies, which benefit from higher interest rates, because you've also got where's the 2 year? The 2 year's got to be up around 5 right now.
Yeah, above 5. It's both of those rates.
Five.
Yeah, both of those rates, 2 year and 10 year, kind of their, you know, at their, certainly the 10 year highest it's been since March, and so. Probably right, but my guess is actually right, probably right before the banking crisis, you know, that started around March 7th. So
that helps the financials, and it helps the banks, it helps the insurance companies that are required to keep big reserves on hand. And now they're making interest income. You know that little item you have on your income tax every year? Where you have to declare how much interest income you received off of whatever your CDs or checking account. It's usually a very minimal number.
The one
it's
that was tiny.
Minimal.
Yeah, it was tiny for a long time.
In recent years, right? Okay. Now it's becoming a little bit more of a significant number. You know, we've had clients saying, hey, I want you to put my cash that's sitting around, if there is any, into something that's yielding a higher rate. And what are we in? What is SNOXX?
Yeah, SNOXX.
Is it 4.5% right now?
It was like I think that? Mid May it was 4.91%. So it's probably close to 5 at the moment.
So these regional banks are making 4.95% on the deposits that are in there. in their banks and reserves right now. Okay, when we come back, a little bit more on interest rates, and then we'll start getting into some individual stocks here like Meta, Microsoft, etc. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, there aren't a lot of Best Stocks Now today. We have a few in the green, and that's about it. You had the ADP jobs report come in hotter than expected, almost double. Those are private payrolls, okay? That's not the non-farm payroll report, which I think comes out tomorrow. We did have a holiday this past week, but I think it will still come out tomorrow. That's the real jobs report. But today's non-farm payroll report really sent the market south today, and especially the bond market. Big sell-off in the bond market and a big rise in interest rates today. And that's knocking, oh, I don't know, 10 basis points out of the multiple of the market, something like that. And which stocks have the most, are the most, well, the higher the PE of the stock, the more, you know, vulnerable it is to rising rates. But those rates could come right back down. You know, if you get some buying in the bond market at this level, that's how the numbers work, right, Barry? I mean, that's how a market works. All of a sudden, the interest rates go up 20 basis points in 2 days. The bond market becomes very attractive for people.
Yeah.
They start buying in the bond market, and that drives interest rates right back down again. And if you get a cooler than expected non-farm payroll report tomorrow, that would also impact the markets. All right.
So, yeah, and that's yield up, yield up, price down, right, and vice versa. So as yields go up, those bonds are looking, like a better deal. And so over time, right, you would expect to get some buying on that side of things.
Then you've got the different Fed members commenting. John Williams said he's 110% supported June's pause. Dallas Fed, Glory Logan called for more restrictive policy to tame hot inflation. And don't forget, I mean, we haven't even had the CPI number and the PPI numbers. Those don't come out for a while yet. Maybe next week, I think, maybe they come out. So anyways, that's where it stands right now.
They'll definitely be out before the Fed meetings, July 25th and 26th. So those we're going to get one more CPI and PPI report before that meeting.
That's exactly right. I think the thing we really need to look for right now is sector rotation. You know, it just naturally occurs in the market, okay? Almost every 3 months, these money managers.
Well, the rebalancing feature, right? Rebalancing feature in terms of, robo, advisors, they're going to sell the place, sell the sectors that are the highest, right? And buy the sectors that have been, that underperformed, essentially.
That's right. And then you undo all the window dressing at the end of the quarter, too.
Right.
They buy all the stocks that did really well during the quarter. They dump them after their reports go out of what they owned at the end of the quarter, and then they get right back into their underperforming stocks that they held during the quarter. That's kind of how that works, too. I was impressed yesterday with Meta. I thought Meta was the stock of the day. It remains to be seen whether Threads, which is their new entrant to go head-to-head with Twitter, Elon Musk Twitter. So now you've got three people in this game. You've got, of course, Donald Trump's DWAC. You've got Twitter itself, owned by Elon Musk, which is now a private company. And now Facebook has rolled out Threads. Facebook is up again today. I call it the stock of the day again today, especially with it bucking the trend. It's traded four times normal volume. It had a big breakout yesterday, and it's following through today. But I'm seeing a report out from Wells Fargo that says maybe a 3% annualized bump from Threads in the long run. So really and truly, you know, I don't know that it's going to increase Meta's earnings and revenue 3% a year. I mean, that's you know, I guess it's material, but it's not it's not all of a sudden going to be a big cash cow for Meta. Look at all how hard it was for you know, for the previous owners of Jack Dorsey to get that to a profitable platform. It's not easy, and Facebook is a pretty late entrant to all of this. Wedbush sees Microsoft joining the $3 trillion club in early 2024.
Well, you just mentioned yesterday what the market cap was of that, when it 2.5 trillion, something like that.
Well, I'm looking at Microsoft right now. Microsoft, by the way, is up today. So that's now we've got one more stock joining the green side of stocks that we own. Microsoft is up $1.68 today, bucking the trend against the NASDAQ. Microsoft is looking for record earnings this year and a 15% jump in earnings next year. Good day for Microsoft. Microsoft is at 2.52. Trillion. Okay, yeah. So it's a ways away, and I would agree with that assessment. Early next year. So there again, okay, you've got this jump in interest rates, 20 basis points in 2 days. Should I dump my Microsoft and run for the woods? Well, you know, it depends on what you use the market for. If you use it as a casino. Or if you sell every time and shoot from the hip every time you get nervous about the market, well, you know, that's up to you. Or you ride through it and wait for it to get to $3 trillion. Stellantis makes a deeper push into electric vehicles. Of course, Stellantis is a global car company, which now, you know, Chrysler is part of Stellantis. They are coming out with a best-in-class range of 435 miles, which is about 10% more than that's going to be their platform, media platform, overall 435 miles, which would be a new record if they can do that. They also have a cheap car coming out. That's what everybody's kind of been waiting for. Elon Musk has teased a low-priced Tesla over the years, but has never produced one. Stellantis has got a Citroen. Remember the ugliest car in the world, you know, besides the Rambler and a few other, the Gremlin. The Gremlin wasn't a very good-looking car, the Pinto. But the Citroen, remember those French cars, the Citroen? Oh, man, they were ugly. They're coming out with the Citroen that's going to have a fast change capability, fast charge capability, 57 minutes, 320 wow. kilometer range, which is only 180 miles. But it's going to be $25,000. Okay, nobody has come out yet with a low priced EV. Let's just check on the chart of Stellantis, STLA. Yeah, it's just kind of a sideways stock, but Stellantis could make a big splash. We'll see. Now,
that old Citroen was all windshield.
Yeah, it was, yeah, really an ugly car. You know, look, I mean, the Italians, if you want a style, you go, the Italian cars are the beautiful cars, in my opinion, all right? I mean, the Germans aren't that great, really, at styling, I don't think. I think the Italians, by far, with their Ferraris and whatnot, Lamborghinis, etc. Okay, the other sector that looked promising yesterday, I mentioned the financial sector. And when I mention financials, I'm talking more of companies like Raymond James, Schwab, not so much the banks.
Not the pure banker, right?
Yeah, not the Goldman Sachs and the Citigroups. Maybe those super regional banks. They looked okay. But the other one that looked interesting yesterday, I haven't had a chance to dig into anything today yet. The energy service stocks. Okay, now they've had, how many false starts have the energy service stocks had? Only to fade out. But Rig had a really good day yesterday, which is Transocean. Noble Energy, NE, probably one of the best looking charts in the market yesterday. Now I got to see if it's going to follow through. Valaris had a really good day yesterday. Not the Mexican airline. There's an energy service stock called Valaris, V-A-L. Seadrill, it was mostly the drillers. Seadrill, S-D-R-L, also had a good day. So I'll be watching for follow through on those energy service stocks as a potential, you know, market rotation. Where is this money coming out of the hot areas of the market going to go? I would just assume it would go to lower PE stocks. And yesterday I saw some of that in the financials and the energy service stocks. Okay, the other stock that I saw yesterday was with China restricting the rare earth exports. I mentioned this before. MP Materials. MP. Had a good day yesterday. And President Biden to be in South Carolina today giving some money to a solar company. We'll be right back. Here to the final segment of today's The Best Stocks Now show. Well, it's looking like right now, as I said, in the Dow, you've got just a few here that are up overall. Microsoft really is leading the way in the Dow, but almost everything is down in the Dow today. The Dow is down, is up, or the Microsoft is up 0.5%. Okay, so not a lot of action there. One small stock that has caught my eye here recently, it has a solid chart. It's getting a lot of upgrades and whatnot. Do you believe in the air taxis, robo taxis? Is that coming, Barry? Is that inevitable that going to see?
Yeah, I mean, well, if you got that, is it, I mean, where's the trade-off, right? Do we need, in that case, do we need as many electric cars, right? Or if we have the robo-taxis? So I don't know.
You jump right over the traffic, right? I want to go to the airport, and the 526 is backed up. You jump right over the traffic, boom, you're at the airport. I don't know. But
are we going to have a driver, or is it going to be like a drone where somebody's, you know, somewhere else controlling me? Like, I don't
know. Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's an air taxi service, and of course, you know, Kathy Wood said that's the big future for Tesla. That's what she's basing her $2,000 target price on, Tesla. But this, if you do believe that they're coming, and I did see a pretty good article about it, Joby Aviation, J-O-B-Y, would be the play there. And, you know, you can just look at a chart of that stock. It has taken off recently. I mean, obviously it's down today because anything that's long duration like that is down, just like it was last year. But anyways, Joby comes to mind, and it is one on my watch list, okay? If we look at the S&P 500, there's a few that are up. Microsoft is in the S&P 500. It's up 0.5%. Microsoft, probably the leader. When you think of AI, you know, NVIDIA, obviously the other one. Microsoft doesn't quite trade at the nosebleed types of multiples that NVIDIA does, but it seems like the AI is still a pretty good theme for the second half of the year. You've got BorgWarner up a little bit. Wow, the Dow's down 500 right now. Okay, the selling is intensifying. the sky is falling. BorgWarner is up 1.7% today. Meta. Now let's look at the inverse funds, because sometimes they tell us where the weakness is. One of the big soft spots, this is more than just interest rates. It's also China. China's inverse fund, 3-to-1, which is Yang, Y-A-N-G. Yang is up 9.4% today. Now, that's an inverse fund. So there obviously are still problems in China. And it's really hard to get a read, an honest read out of China, how their economy is doing. But the market is definitely giving it a thumbs down. The other area of the market that's under fire today are the small caps. Okay, they kind of stand out here. TZA is 3x inverse. The small cap stocks, it's up 7.5% today. The oil stocks are not having a good day today. As I look at the Dow, Exxon is down 3% today. So the oil producers are not having a good day. That would be reflective of worries over the economy. So you kind of have two things ganging up, which are kind of contradict each other. The bond market is saying the bond market is saying the economy is too hot, right, Barry?
Right. Yeah,
and the
exactly.
stock market and the sell-off in China is saying we're headed for a slowdown. So you take your pick, which one you believe. Okay,
and
if we're slowing down.
At these precipices, you know, I mean, it's just interesting because you're at this kind of, you know, it does seem, you know, we're at this trade-off, right, between, you know, higher rate regime, right, and a potential, you know, lower rate regime going forward from an interest rate standpoint. So, you know, any of those capitulation moments, you're naturally going to have a good bit of volatility around. So, and that's kind of what we're seeing here, particularly in the rates market with the 10-year going up roughly, 20 basis points almost, right, in the last couple of days.
Yeah, 2 days.
Yeah.
And then you've got the multiple issue with the S&P 500. So, you know what, sometimes you just have to grit your teeth a little bit. How many days have there been like this over the last 50 years or whatever? Okay, and then you also have the emerging markets very weak today. The emerging markets are mostly China, or a big chunk of it. The emerging market, 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 inverse is up 6.9%. The biotechs are weak today. They're long duration stocks that don't do well in a hot interest rate environment. And then DRIP, which is 3x inverse the finance or the oil sector, is up 6.7%. Also kind of weak today, which, you know, like I said, I like the finance. The financial sector has potential in the second half, but I don't like the big bank stocks. You've got CMA down 5.2%. That's Comerica. You've got KeyCorp down 3.7%. When in reality, they should be doing a lot better with interest rates popping like they are, but they're not. And then the other
factor if long-term if long-term treasury yields go up, that's actually bad for at least their balance sheet, right? Because
that's
they had those, you know, some of those had those longer dated treasuries. So some of those banks are kind of in, you know, in the middle where historically this would be a great environment for them. Depends on though how they structured, you know, some of their,
their
balance
sheet. If you want to buy a bank stock, you got to actually look at their balance sheet,
right?
See how much they have in long-term treasuries, because that's what sunk Silicon Valley Bank. Okay, then last but not least, the other sector that was showing a little promise, but with the China weakness, the materials, Freeport, MacMoran, Cleveland-Cliffs, Alcoa, U.S. Steel, they all look really bad right now. So, you know, it'll pass. You just got to get through it. Stuff like this comes along. But there are definitely sectors not to be in right now. And there are still sectors to hang out in right now. I guess new money's more of the critical concern right now. You know, we're parked in a lot of stuff. We don't plan on unparking for much of it. But new money coming in, you know, I'm looking for new sectors, and I'm looking for stocks that got left by or meaningful pullbacks in some of the stuff we own. What I made a buy yesterday in one that we own that pulled back. If you'd like to get the newsletter, stay on top of all of this, go to GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to talk to us about active money management, 858 or 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.